Thanks again for joining me here from my website at preachingthegospelthatsaves.com. Or maybe it's from your inbox because you subscribe to the bookstore blog. And I'd like to say thank you for subscribing as we continue to press through the different translations and why the 1769 King James Bible is God's perfect words without error. As we cover so many versions, which is the title of the new book not found in your so-called Christian bookstore, ask your pastor why it's not there. And this is part 5 of July's blog 2024. Again, thanks for joining me. We'll be going through this book, which brings to light so many versions of the Bible. How do these versions stack up to God's perfect words, the 1769 King James Bible, which they never mention in this book? The Blaney text. It is always the 1611 translation. Here's what the authors Saki Kubo and Walter Speck say in chapter 1 titled Early Modern Speech Versions. Page 26. In the 16th century, William Tyndale risked his life to translate the scriptures and died as a martyr in 1538. What was it that inspired him to undertake such a dangerous and daring work? Tyndale said, "Which thing only moved me to translate the New Testament because I had perceived by experience how that it is impossible to establish the lay people in any truth, except the scripture were plainly laid before their eyes in their mother tongue, that they might see the processing of the text." Later on page 26, they fall for the devil's lie. Unfortunately, the very version prefaced by these noble words, the King James Version 1611, is no longer speaking their language of the common man. To the average man of today, the language of the King James Version seems strange and foreign. There is therefore danger that the Bible may seem to modern man to be something out of date and irrelevant. This has been recognized now for nearly a century. Hence, toward the end of the 19th century, and it's basically, this is the end of the 19th century, 1880 is when the American Standard Version came out, and then it went out of print because no one was buying it. And then the New American Standard Version came out. So in the beginning of the 20th century, a movement arose calling for translations of the Bible in modern English. And when those new translations came out, it was led by Westcott and Hort. Look those guys up. One of the worst, if not the devil's ministers, to produce translations that negate the gospel, negate the blood, negate his God's perfect words, is absolutely horrid. Look up Frank Logston. Frank Logston was on the committee of the New American Standard, and he confesses that he had done the worst work for God. Look up his confession, Frank Logston. Take note that this book puts scholarship first. They don't believe the words on the page. They refer to the originals. There are no originals on the face of the planet. They attack the so-called archaic words, the King James Bible. So now let's compare. This is what Philip says. One would appreciate Philip's more if comparison were made throughout with the King James Version. And that's what we're doing, okay? We're comparing it, and I appreciate Phillips' translation so much less. In his perversion, there's no suffering. There's no new creature. Let's see what else he doesn't have in his translation of whatever he wants it to be. I would not call it a Bible. So let's take a look at Romans chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. And this is what Philip says. It now begins to look as if sin and the law were very much the same thing. Were they the same thing? Can this be a fact? Of course it cannot. But it must, in fairness, be admitted that I should never have had sin brought home to me but for the law. For example, I should never have felt guilty of the sin of coveting if I had not heard the law saying, "Thou shalt not covet." But the sin in me, finding in the commandment an opportunity to express itself, stimulated all my covetous desires. For sin, in the absence of the law, has no chance to function technically as sin, has not life of its own. As long then as I was without the law, I was spiritually speaking, alive. But when the commandment arrived, sin sprang to life and I died. The commandment, which was meant to be a direction to life, I found was a sentence to death. The commandment gave sin an opportunity, and without my realizing what was happening, what it was doing, it killed me. Okay, did you get all that? Now let's see what God's perfect words say, and ask yourself, what's clearer to understand, the Phillips or God's perfect words, the 1769 King James Bible? Romans 7, chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. So did you notice the word lust isn't in the Phillips translation? Concupiscence is not in the Phillips translation? Do those words matter? Or are they too big? That's a four-syllable word, you know. What would a rap star do with a four-syllable word? I don't know. I mean, what would we do with a four-syllable word if we were still in kindergarten reading Dick and Jane and Pug, right? I don't know. We are adults now, aren't we? So these are words that matter to God. Do they matter to you? They don't matter to the people who developed the Phillips translation. Do they matter to you? More next month.